everybody,
and welcome to church on this beautiful day. Today is the sixth Sunday after Trinity, and our theme last week, if you remember, we heard about the parable of the sower and the seeds or the soil, and today is a parable about the weeds. They are all parables about the church and its people. And in dealing with weeds, let's be careful not to uproot, perhaps, ourselves. We begin with a prayer as we approach God this morning. We come to you, gracious God, acknowledging that our life is filled with both wheat and weeds. Be gentle with us and help us to help one another as we journey together, that your kingdom may come and your will may be done here in this place, in our communities represented here, and in our lives now and always. Amen. And you may be seated as we have our first hymn. It is very difficult not to sing, I know, but we can hum, so we'll get better at humming, I think, over the next weeks. Number 562, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Say sorry for where we have let him down. So let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour, in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on us. Pardon and deliver us from all our sins. Confirm and strengthen us in all goodness and keep us in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And before our collect, we take a moment to collect our thoughts before God. Sometimes difficult to still our hearts and minds when we come to church. We pray his presence with us in a real way. Merciful God, you have prepared for those who love you such good things as pass our understanding. Pour into our hearts such love toward you that we, loving you above all things, may obtain your promises, which exceed all that we can desire. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Do we listen to our first reading?
The first reading is taken from Genesis chapter 28. Jacob left Beersheba and went towards Haran. He came to a certain place and stayed there for the night, because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place. And he dreamed that there was a ladder up in the earth, the top of it reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And the Lord stood by him and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your offspring. And your offspring shall be like dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, and to the north and to the south. And all the families of the earth shall be blessed in you and in your offspring. Know that I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob woke from his sleep and said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid, and said, How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So Jacob rose early in the morning, and he took the stone that he had put under his head, and set it up for a pillar, and poured oil on the top of it. He called that place Bethel, but the name of the city was Luz. At the first. Here ends the first reading.
Thank you.
The second reading is from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 13. Jesus put before the crowd another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds amongst the wheat, and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the household came in and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from? He answered, An enemy has done this. The slaves said to him, Then do you want us to go and gather them? But he replied, No, for in gathering the weeds you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time I will tell the reapers, Collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned. We gather the wheat into my barn. Then Jesus left the crowds and went into the house. And his disciples approached him, saying, Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field. He answered, The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all cause of sin and all evildoers. And they will throw them in the furnace of fire, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of the Father. Let everyone with ears listen. For this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable unto you, Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and our Sustainer. Amen. Well, this parable this morning of the weeds, it's a bit of a challenging text for me because I am a typical first child in many respects. You other first children, have we some first children here? I see one at the back anyway, yes, a few first children. So you might recognise yourselves in some of what I'm about to say. As a first child, I always want everything to be black and white. And so when things go awry, I become a problem solver who wants to make it all right again. But as you can imagine, that doesn't always work out. But as a first child, my wish is to immediately fix things, to make things right. And I've learnt over time that, as many others no doubt have as well, to be patient and allow things to work out. Sometimes they just do work naturally. Like in bringing up our children, when they are small, you can kiss the scratched knee and make it all better. But as they grow into adults, all you can do is listen and wait and be patient and trust in the wisdom that you try to instill in your children as children of God and as followers of Jesus Christ. We have to trust in the good seed sown by God's Spirit in their hearts, and we have to trust the fruit and the harvest that God, not we, will make in their lives. Patient trust in God is one of the things that the parable in the Gospel reading is mostly about. The weeds spoken of here in the text were, in the King James Version, called or translated as tares. And tares were a ryegrass, so I'm told, since I'm not a farmer knowing all of my grasses. But this ryegrass was a poisonous grass, and it was widespread in Palestine. In its immature stages, it looked almost identical to a young wheat plant. and the two could only be easily distinguished when the plants reached the seed-bearing stage. As the Bible says, you will know them by their fruit. The servants of the master farmer in the parable told Jesus they were shocked to find tares growing in the field sown with the master's good seed. They too may have been first children, because in the face of this outrage that the master's enemy had come and sown the bad seed, they wanted it to be sorted immediately by tearing out the weeds, fixing the problem, making things right again. But the master says, no, wait, be patient. Let's not cause any collateral damage. It will all get sorted out at the harvest time. And Jesus is teaching us the reality we all experience, weeds or tares, both literally and spiritually, are a post-Eden fact of life in the world and in the church and in our lives. Weeds or tares happen. The kingdom of God on earth is messy. It's a messy mixed field where good and bad stuff and people are so intermingled that it's not safe or good for us to try and separate them with our own limited wisdom and vision. A vision that only sees through a mirror dimly in this life. Of course, we don't like the messy ambiguity of who's in or who's out. So we're tempted to want to draw a line in the sand. The problem with drawing the line in the sand, or in immediately trying to pull out the weeds, is that by drawing the line, we may actually be drawing ourselves outside of God's gracious heart. Or in trying to pull out the weeds, we may actually be uprooting ourselves. As someone once humorously said, I'm certain there'll be three surprises in heaven. I will see some people there that I hadn't expected to see. There'll be a number of people missing whom I did expect to see, and there'll be others surprised to see me. In other words, the reality of the reign of God is that God started down the road of freedom and love a long time ago, and he won't turn back from that path. God's justice seems to take a long time, because God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, as Psalm 86 reminds us. We are the other hand judge. On the other hand, we like to judge and we like to condemn quickly. So God's mercy and his patience can drive us crazy, because we want him to act now. We want him to sort that person out now. Except that is, of course, when we need and want him to be patient with us and our sins. The truth that Jesus reveals in this parable is hard for us to accept, because he's telling us something we really don't want to hear. When we encounter evil, or our immediate reaction is to want to go on a kind of a hunt and destroy mission, our battle cry becomes, don't just stand there, do something. But that's the opposite to what Jesus is telling us in this parable. In fact, the parable turns our conventional wisdom on its head when Jesus, as the landowner, says in effect, don't just do something, stand there. Jesus is teaching us a very important lesson, that we are called as his disciples not just to be against things, but instead to be for the good that God will cause to prosper and grow as we wait with the trusting patience of mercy. It's all about patience. not roll over and play dead patience, not head in the sand patience, but active patience that concentrates on the good, not on the bad. And this active patience trusts that the ultimate victory is God's, and that the power of God's antidote is the good news of Jesus Christ. It's far stronger than the poison of the tares or the bad seed. In short, how we live among the weeds, among the tares, is vital. It's vital that we live as patient, forgiving disciples, because while weeds always remain weeds and wheat always remains wheat, in the natural world, in God's spiritual agriculture, he never writes anybody off before death. People can change under the power of God's mercy, as the example of the repentant thief on the cross shows us, and as we know from personal experience. So the default setting for us is not to be tearerists, pulling out the tares, but to deal with the tares patiently with forgiveness. Some biblical scholars have pointed out that the landowner tells his servants to allow the wheat and the tares to grow up together. The original word in the Greek for allow is the same word that's used for forgive. In Matthew's version of the Lord's Prayer, to forgive as we have been forgiven. To not practice forgiveness is to run the risk of becoming just like the evil we are trying to uproot and remove. As the proverb says, choose your enemies carefully because you become like them. How true that can be. It's very easy to become intolerant with intolerant people, or angry at people who are angry at us, or prejudiced against or towards prejudiced people. By seeking to destroy our enemies, we can condemn ourselves because we have become just like them. As another proverb says, be careful lest in fighting the dragon, you become the dragon. And the story is told of one of the first crusades where knights from Western Europe attacked an Arab town on their way to the Holy Land and killed everybody in sight. And it wasn't until later, when they turned over the bodies, that they found that there were crosses around the victims' necks. It had never occurred to them that Christians came in brown skin as well as white. The fact is, we often can't tell the wheat from the weeds because they're often so intertwined. We even know that to be true at the personal level, because in this life, all of us who are followers of Jesus are both saints and sinners. At the same time, we all struggle with the presence of sin in our lives, and life continues on, even though we pray to be fruitful for God and the kingdom. Jesus makes this clear in the parable that we simply cannot be certain of who's in and who's out. And thank God it's not up for us to decide. We can leave the weeding up to the angels on the last day and get on with the mission Jesus has given us, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. We do not have to defend God. As somebody wisely said, you defend God like you defend a lion. You get out of his way. The landowner in the parable did not panic at the actions of his enemy, because he knew it would all be sorted out at the harvest, reaping the good and destroying the bad. Jesus is saying to us, here and now, relax. He's saying relax because we don't have to judge or we don't have to destroy that which works against God. The owner of the farm, God himself, will make it all come out right in the end, as the Apostle Paul says earlier in Romans in chapter 8. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. And we can trust that promise because in the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he died and he lived out the meaning of this parable. The power of the resurrection proves the truth of the parable of the wheat and the weeds. So we can recommit ourselves to leaving the weeds to God, while with our own hearts and souls we patiently nurture the growth of the wheat God has sown in us and around us and among us, while we wait for the harvest with joy. Blessed be God, day by day. Amen. And now let us pray. The response to the words, God of mercy, is hear us as we pray. God of mercy, hear us as we pray. God's justice is always blended with mercy and loving kindness, so that we have real hope. So let us draw near to the just and merciful God and pour out our concerns for the church and for the world. Lord our God, as we join the unending cycle of prayer on our planet, turning through time and space, we rejoice in your upholding, your mercy and forgiveness. In our small-mindedness, we ask your in-breathing so that we learn to look with your vision and act with your wideness of compassion. God of mercy, hear us as we pray. Lord our God, be present at all meetings and negotiations where feelings run high and many lives are profoundly affected by the decisions made. We pray for the meetings in Europe. And we pray for real communication which listens to needs and appreciates difficulties, so that we may live on this earth together in harmony and peace. And in this time of COVID, we pray for our own government and for governments around the world as they make decisions for our safety and for the good of each and every one of us and for the country. Lord, that they would be open to your wisdom and to your guiding, and that their ears would indeed listen to your word. God of mercy, hear us as we pray. Lord our God, we pray for this community and all communities represented here today. And we pray for particular issues that may be in our communities. Sometimes communities can be split apart by conflict or difference of opinion, or indeed crushed by tragedy. We pray for those involved with court proceedings. May our judicial system uphold your principle of justice with mercy. God of mercy, hear us as we pray. Lord our God, we pray for those who have a raw deal in this life, for those with ongoing health problems. We take a moment to think of those in our own hearts at this time who need our prayers and need your healing. And we pray for all who are caught up in war and deprivation. We pray for a just and realistic sharing of our resources
and courage, support, and healing for all who suffer. God of mercy, hear us as we pray. Lord our God, we thank you for the remembrance of those who have gone before us and now see their lives as they really are. We pray for your mercy on us, and we pray that we would be good examples to all around us of goodness and love and patience and compassion. We pray for those bereaved, especially those in this week. We pray for the Chambers family and the Jolly family who have lost mothers and grandmothers. God of mercy, hear us as we pray. Lord our God, in all the events and phases of our life, we give you thanks for your steadfast and unchanging love, which sustains and directs us. We bring our prayers together in the words, Merciful Father, accept these our prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. And we join together in saying the family prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Our closing hymn is To God Be the Glory, Great Things He Hath Done.
next Sunday, services as they have been, without any change. We continue to protect each other and keep others in mind when we're leaving this morning, as you are usually ushered and guided out. Don't congregate, please, on the aisle, and we can space outside on a lovely day like this. It'll be nice to have a chat and a catch up together. The offertory plate is on the baptismal font at the back of the church, and do take your items with you, including your pew sheets. And as I said last Sunday, we're recording the service by audio, and if anybody would like me to text it to them or WhatsApp it to them to pass on, just let me know. I've put it up on the website, but obviously not everybody's going to get it there. But if we can make it easy for people that might be able to use a smartphone, that would be great. The Lord be with you. Let us bless the Lord. Wonderful God, you are present in all places and all peoples. As we live our lives, heighten our senses to you in all things, that others may see your presence in us. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us go in peace to love and to serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.